Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning's Pentecost sermon I've entitled Beyond Smoke, Flame, and Adulation. And it's based especially on the second reading, the reading of Acts, and really to look at the real thrust of the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes, of course, tongues of fire, but then what happens? All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And from that verse onward, we see what happens in the early church. They preach the word. Peter preaches. There's baptism. There's a celebration of the Lord's Supper, the means by which the Spirit continues to work this day. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, you have indeed sent your Holy Spirit into our hearts through the proclamation of your word, through our holy baptism, and through the Lord's Supper. We pray, Lord, that we may value these means of your grace, that we may know of the forgiveness of our sins, and from that knowledge, from that love, we may in turn love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. You know, sometimes it's very difficult to find a suitable picture for bulletin covers as it meets the day, but not so today. There could be so much more for the artist to capture. I mean, the Feast of Pentecost, first and foremost, was a regular Old Testament kind of feast and pageantry. So you have the crowds, and there wouldn't be any boring subjects to draw or paint when you have such multitudes in the city. Multitudes consisting of tribes from every nation under heaven. I can imagine an artist painting all the different kinds of dress that people would have worn, having come from different places in the world. They were there to worship in the grandeur of the temple, first and foremost. The artist could have drawn the priests in wondrous robes, intoning reverent liturgical texts, the clouds of smoke, the stoking of fire, the maybe conveying even the smells of incense and sacrifice. But then all of that was outdone by what was happening with the apostles in that place, in that house that is referred to in Acts 2. In the upper room where the apostles were gathered, tongues of fire came down, fire that would burn but would not consume and rest on each of the apostles there. Gifts of language accompanying the workings of the Spirit. It's such a thrilling sight that, of course, artists love to paint it and draw it, and we ourselves would love to do nothing more than recreate that kind of working of the Spirit. And many do. Perhaps someone has invited you or members of your family. Come with me, they say, and I'll show you where this kind of working of the Spirit in tongues still happens. And you'll be amazed. You'll see some that are exuberant. And you'll be amazed. Some might, in trance-like speech, utter hitherto unheard of speech in this land or any land on the face of the earth. That's the tongues of angels, someone exclaims. Mass choirs sing, crowds standing jostle for space, passions run high. They attend for a time until they find themselves restless. How many storefront operations spring up by untold numbers of self-appointed prophets, till their membership finds another prophet where the passion is just a bit higher, the drama a little more intense and the fiery rhetoric a bit more ecstatic. There is a certain segment who spend their lives in this way, chasing the spirit, if you will. But I assure you, it's not all of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, the Holy Spirit provides pageantry only with a message, only with a purpose, and never to entertain. It's the proclamation of the mighty works of God, which is important here in your text. The highlight of the day of Pentecost comes in the last verse of the reading from Acts. We like to think about all of the different languages that are spoken, but really the most important thing is the message of those various languages spoken. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus. It always comes back to that. Jesus is what is most important. Jesus, the one who saves. At one point, Paul would observe, Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. This is the essence of the Holy Spirit's work at Pentecost, and we would do well to read the rest of chapter 2, to read Peter's sermon, to see where it is focused. It's focused on the Spirit's work to convict the world of sin, till sinners are cut to the heart, and then introduced to Jesus, the one who saves. In the next verses of chapter 2, we hear the hows of salvation. It's all about what God does in Christ Jesus. Peter preaches. Now, this might not provide as interesting a subject for the artists and the painters, a man preaching and a congregation listening, but truly, this is the main activity at Pentecost. The tongues of fire are great, the language is spoken great, but it's the message in those languages that are spoken that's the main activity at Pentecost. Peter preaches Christ crucified. This Jesus, he says, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Peter's preaching mirrors the preaching of Jesus, the kerygma, as theologians call it. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and the congregants said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, even though the very words of Jesus, repent. But he adds, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Now the gift of the Holy Spirit was not through the miraculous, the smoke, fire, or the tongues. The gift of the Holy Spirit for all people, whatever their ethnicity, whatever socioeconomic status, whichever gender, male or female, whatever age, infancy to old age, was through the very word proclaimed and through the sacraments administered in the fellowship of God's people, the church. This is what is important at Pentecost. The people of God is Israel, is fulfilled in the new Israel, which is the church, where people hear the word of God and receive the sacraments. The church is the gift of the Spirit, and it was and is to remain a living, active body of Christ. What did they do there? Well, Acts 2 says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Pause there for a moment as you contemplate that phrase, breaking of bread. Study your catechism sometimes and you'll know that this phrase means the center of what they were doing was the celebration of the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. The early Christians longed for it. They celebrated it weekly because they trusted the promise of Jesus that he would be there not just in remembrance or in some sort of ethereal, spiritual way, but truly present there in body and soul in the fullness of his humanity and his deity. The Lutheran reformers likewise restored and retained the practice of weekly communion, so the Apology of the Augsburg Confession reads that in Reformation times, our churches celebrated the sacrament every Lord's Day and at other festivals. They also devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Here's where the Holy Spirit works too. It wasn't anything like what the pagans would pursue, climbing up Mars Hill near the Acropolis, longing for all things that were novelties. Christian teachers and hearers were concerned with one thing and one thing only. They were concerned about Jesus, and they were concerned about passing on the faith once delivered to the saints. We need no novelties from the world or the minds of men, because this Jesus whom we preach, his death and his resurrection, that is something which is ever new in our hearts. Worshiping on the first day of the week, we dwell in the eternity of the eighth day. We delve ever deeper into the mysteries of faith each day of our lives, but what we have isn't novel, and yet it is indeed ever new. It's life-giving. It's the resurrection. What did Peter preach on the day of Pentecost? It was really focused in on the Easter message, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which means for you and I, we too may be raised from the dead. This activity is at the center of what it means to be church. And from that love given to us, especially the forgiveness of sins, flows works of mercy and compassion, unity of spirit and of purpose. Because as I read further in Acts, even in that chapter number 2, I hear, and they were selling their possessions and belongings, and they were distributing the proceeds to all as any who had need. You want to talk about Pentecost, and we think about the flames there and all of that, but the greatest thing is the conversion in the heart, the proclamation of the gospel, the response to it in never leaving anyone behind, never leaving anyone hungry in their midst. Then see how their scripturally rooted in sacramental life flowed into works of mercy only to draw them back to the center, which was their worship, which was their reception of the sacrament. And day by day, this is directly from the Bible, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Was there the element of the miraculous? Yes. But they will know that we are Christians by our love. They could have gone to any kind of illusionist or magician and got that kind of entertainment power. But what really made the church appealing was how people responded to the gospel. They'll know that we are Christians by our love. They were selling their possessions and belongings that all might have as they had need. No wonder that there was powerful growth, which miracles, the smoke, fire, and adulation alone could not provide. After all, the dark side could have miracles too. But at Pentecost, they heard the word of God in their very heart language. People were convicted of sin. The worldly life was exposed as empty and unsatisfying, even destructive as darkness. But at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit introduced people to Jesus. He's still the focus, and his work of salvation from the eternal foundations of the world to the cross, to the resurrection, to the ascension. And the Holy Spirit was working there alongside all the time to say, this is most certainly true. Through holy baptism, they were incorporated into a new kingdom where the King ever lives and never abandons us. And we hold audience with him in a very special way in the supper, with angels and archangels, the entire company of heaven. What a wondrous Pentecost that is revealed to us in the life of the church. A church that receives the love of God and sends it back out in blessings. What a wondrous Pentecost indeed. In his name we pray, it may be so with us also. Amen. O Holy Spirit, work through the word that is proclaimed this day, even as you have promised. Help us know where you continue to work through your word and through your sacraments, that we may have the knowledge of forgiveness, the knowledge of your love, the experience of it, that we may share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing as we confess our faith according to the Nicene Creed.